Bill is the former athletic director of Florida and Houston, also a former player, as Coach mentioned. He's also an executive coach for professional development and career guidance for current and aspiring leaders in intercollegiate athletics. Bill, thank you for joining the show. Coach, you can go on ahead and take it away.
Yeah, we do appreciate it, Bill. What an appropriate time, though, to have a conversation with you. And we've got
a lot going on.
You'd expect that. You bet there's a lot going on. And as you would expect, there's a lot of interest and concern, really, by a number of people in our audience about the game of college athletics, period. You know, let's look at a couple of things here. And I want to get specific about some issues. I mean, we're looking at today the NCAA and others in a committee meeting with the United States Senate. We are looking at the NIL ramifications. We're looking at the possibility of an expanded playoff to some are speculating rather strongly that they could go to 12 teams, which I think is terrible, ridiculous. But anyway, an awful lot that we've got to take a look at here. And let me point something out to our public out here before we even get into the basics of this. There are, really, you have to think about this a minute. There are 1,100 universities, colleges with athletic programs. 1,100. 25 are profitable. Only 25, 2.27% are profitable. Now that is something that many people don't know. They think that, all these schools, they fill a stadium with 100,000 people, they're just rolling in money. Well, some of them are just keeping their heads above water. But keep in mind, they have to put all these other teams on the field. So that's a problem. But anyway, the most important thing is 25 out of over 1,000 schools are profitable. Now, what do the others do? And now we're going to add this on. And believe me, the Final Four could be devastating for some schools. So with that, I'm going to upset too much, but I want to turn it over to Bill. How you see things stacking up as we sit here this morning, today?
Well, Kay, thanks for the invitation. It's always an honor to address you and the fine folks there in Pensacola, tremendous place in the world, and I love that beach. Oh boy, love people in the beach. It can't get better than Pensacola. But I just want to say that the intercollegiate athletics, which I've been privileged to work in for over 50 years. Hard to believe that I'm that old, but I'm even older than that, of course, and that's just a given. But the bottom line is that there is enormous change occurring in our nation, of course, overall. And COVID is just one of the latest manifestations of that, which is a unique experience for everyone in the world. Because the last one occurred, of course, everyone knows more than 100 years ago. So there are only a handful of folks around that were babies when that first one came down. Back in 1918, 1919, along in there. But it is a different world that is changing by leaps and bounds in some areas more than others. And intercollegiate athletics, which has been so traditionally bound by things of the past, and this is how we've done it, and we're going to continue doing it this way, is literally being changed at a pace that is hard to comprehend. And the degree of change and the pace of change is astounding. And there are additional manifestations that are occurring right now. Kay, we've had a chance to talk about some of those things you've mentioned, a few, in the names, image, and likeness, or NIL, as it is known by its acronym, names, image, and likeness, the ability of a student athlete to sell, to market their name in a way that provides revenue to them, even while they're competing as a college athlete. That is now legal in some different states, and will be effective in July. And I think there are like 7 or 8 states that are in that category right now that have already passed that kind of law in Florida. Our state is one of them. And then there are so many other changes that are occurring, but one in particular, Kay, that you and I have talked about some recently is the transfer portal, where student athletes have the right to declare that they're going to leave an institution and go play for another school. Even though they're on scholarship at University A, they can go to University B and be eligible the next season immediately to have eligibility. And instead of having to spend a year in residence, which is the historical price you had to pay for that. So those are some of the big changes, Kay, that we can see happening right before our eyes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's I'm very concerned about it, really. And it's on a track to not only change the face of college athletics, but also create a totally different scenario as far as the reason for having, you know, let's stop and think about the reason for college athletics. Was back in the 1800s, the boys from old Yale called the boys from old Harvard and said, "Hey, we'll meet you in the playground, and there's this game called football. We'll play football, and we'll beat you." They said, "Okay, we'll
That's
meet
right.
you there."
Mm-hmm.
And they did, and they were students, number one, at the university, or they couldn't have been out there. And that's where it all began, and look where it's gone. Now, a lot of it is good and entertaining, and we enjoy it, but a lot of it, we have to admit, is not good. And it's a prostitution of a pure sport that many people just don't totally comprehend. So I say that in a way that it takes it from the very from one extreme to another. Now we're talking about a totally different thing. And I also say this to you: college athletics was never ever meant to be a fundraiser for the athletes that played there. That's professionalism. It was never meant to be. I don't care if you put 1 million people in the stands and they all paid $100 for the ticket. It doesn't matter. It was never meant to be for the financial success of the students. It was meant to be, my gosh, they get, who would have ever thought that I know in my situation that I would get a college education. Paid for everything you could imagine, paid for, and an opportunity to play football. Just that, but now that, to mention that, is something that flies in the face of so many people, because they think they should share in the revenue that the schools derive. And I think it's, but it's, listen, it's a, it starts with that, and it's moving in that direction, because there's some other things that are being suggested, like after they're out of school, with revenue from the school and insurance and other things.
Well, there are a lot of dynamics occurring out there, and the Congress is getting involved in it now, Kay, as we have discussed, and they are pushing that agenda hard to increase the compensation that goes to student athletes. And my greatest concern is that we don't totally eliminate the student athlete experience. Taking an 18-year-old naive freshman and straight out of high school, and putting that person into a four-year program of education and development and leadership training and pushing themselves to be the very best they can be in every sense of the word, and four-plus years later producing an educated person prepared for service and leadership in the community. And as an adult with maturity and good life career goals, those are the things. That's the whole purpose of college athletics, is hopefully we can do those things sufficiently to justify the enterprise, and we can produce some good leaders for our country, because we need those things. People here on your program, Kay, have heard me say that before, because that's my very strong position, and I hope and pray that that can occur, and that we don't, that the Supreme Court ruling on the Alston case does not come down here sometime soon, indicating that athletes are going to be paid a salary as an employee, just as if they were working for an NFL team, because it's just such a different relationship, a different experience for people who are employees as opposed to those who are students working as a academic endeavor and a personal development area. So All of those things are in front of us at this point. We just have to see what happens, and it's a period where many of us in the industry are holding our breath to see what happens with people like the Supreme Court and Congress and other groups that have jurisdiction in many of these areas.
Yeah, and that's another factor too. It becomes so political, there is a big political divide on everything from right to work to the way that compensation would be handled. It's insulting. Yeah, but it's something we're faced with, unfortunately, and it's going to, I think, have a chance to be, and I hesitate to say this, but it's got a chance to totally change the game to a quasi-pro sport, where they're just going to have to pay players, and they're going to have to, how do you create any form of equity, Bill, with this NIL, when everybody wants the quarterback or the running back or the receiver, and nobody wants the full right guard, you know?
That's only logical. What you're saying, Kay, is that the people who score the touchdowns and who shoot the free throws but in the game of football, the linemen, how are the linemen going to get any kind of recognition? Because nobody can, very few people can really follow and assess what's going on in the line of scrimmage with any certainty and clarity. You can just see, that we gained so many yards and whatever, and that tells you everything, but not too many people can observe the execution of a particular offense and understand when it's being done well by virtue of watching the performance of the players. They just like to look at the yards that are gained, understandably. But the bottom line is that all of those things are happening before us right now, and one of the other things you mentioned, Kay, before we started our call, was you mentioned about the college football playoff increasing potentially. I think that is something that's likely to occur, don't you?
Yeah, but I just hope to goodness they don't go to 12 teams, even 10. I think 8 at the max. Listen, if they had 8 teams going to the playoffs, the first thing it's going to do, if they have 12, it's going to cheapen the whole process. Right now, it is the king of the roost for those 4 teams. Now, I think more than 4 should be involved in it, but not to take it to the other extreme and go with 12. Out of 12 teams, back when we were in school, they rated the AP and the UPI and maybe some other rating service, I don't know, rated the top 10 teams in the country, and that was it.
Yep, that was
top it. Top 10, then they got to the top 15, the top 25, and all that. Once you get, it's tough to get to 10. When you, there's no doubt in my mind that you, where are you going to find 12 teams that have the same record equivalency of what they've done during the season with the top 4, 5, 6, 7 teams down around 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, it's not going to happen. It's going to cheapen the process. And then, now where are those people that were, and I think falsely, griping about kids being out of class and all that. But 12's too many. 8 is fine with me, and I just don't like the idea of 12 teams. I don't think you can find 12 that are qualified to be in a national championship derby.
Well, the strength of schedule situation is it's impossible to balance the strength of schedule because the Power Five schools have so much more resource and support system in place because of those resources that the quality of play and the execution and the comprehensive nature, the sophistication of all their support systems is so profound that it's just a different game in many ways. And so it remains to be seen how that plays out. But I think that the next iteration will have an increased number from 4. How many, I haven't studied in depth enough to be able to speak to that with the degree of certainty that you've spoken, and I respect your expression. But I just have not studied that in any detail to be able to place an argument one way or the other. But I just do feel that it is going to expand sooner rather than later. Because of all the dynamics of finances and politics and the different circumstances, I think it's going to be a definite change here in the near future. What the exact details remain to be seen, but I feel a certain degree of being convinced that it is going to be changed very, very soon in the next 2 or 3 years at the latest. But that's just an opinion.
Oh, I agree
that's
with
not
you.
A fact.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. And I think it is all driven by politics and money, maybe money and politics, one and two.
In that order, yes, money and then politics.
Yeah.
There you go. I think you're right on target with that, Kay.
Well, listen, Bill, I've kept you too long. I apologize. I know you've got a big call coming up here. You, conference call, you got to get on. So I do appreciate you coming on. And listen, we'll be getting a few other things in place here. We're going to try to get you back on, and we'll discuss what they mean to college athletics.
That sounds great. We look forward to that, Kay, and my best regards to all the great folks in Pensacola and Escambia County.